Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support. Welcome everyone to another episode of Brainstorm Brew, and we're definitely going to put the brew in the brewery today because we're going to let people know. You know, I was at GP Oakland and I heard a lot of people talking about what brewery is that? Where can we find those beers? And you know, I had to tell people it was a podcast and there's a disappointed look. So we decided, you know, Time Elemental, Jason, he told me like, why don't you guys start a brew? So that's what we're going to do. So we had to go reach out and grab some experts here, some true brew fanatics. We got Slick Jagger here. So he partied with us at GP Vegas.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? I was lucky enough to be in the Brainstorm Brewery Heavy Meta House, and I lost in the booze cube to a Star City employee, and that crushed my heart to this day.
Oh man, it was brutal. It was brutal. And then you got his best friend here, the actual brewmaster himself. We got Motika. This is M Motika, MOTYKA on Twitter.
Yeah, I was also at the Vegas house and I got crushed by Jason because he was the only person who had the spirit of the booze cube where his deck drank beers. And you know, I was okay with losing to him.
I just wanted to win. That's how I played it.
Jason was mad. I got the footage of him actually getting
drunk. I was ganged up on. You should never have a three-way to determine a championship.
No, you were actually being a douchebag, and they said, you know what? You're not playing no more, Jason. We're going to end your game right here. And you stormed off in a hissy fit.
I supported your hissy fit, Jason. I felt the pain because I got beat by Chaz's wife as well. And Chaz. They ganged up on me.
Well, serious?
That's how they roll. Listen.
The first night we boost cubed, I had a really awesome deck and we split up into three tables and I won mine pretty quick and I was waiting on everyone else and then somebody threw up all over the cards and we never finished.
So why did
you play the next night?
Why was the tournament even played in multiplayer? Why wasn't just 1-on-1?
I don't know, it's supposed to be a multiplayer thing. I don't know. I am not.
Boost yeah. Cube's always multiplayer.
Oh, okay.
To play Booze Cube 1-on-1 is to be very masochistic.
Yeah.
It's against the spirit of the game. We gotta love that, you know.
You're not supposed to take it as serious as Jason took it. I think that's the correct answer.
Jason was going for the throat.
I was trying to win, man.
That was a nice
play. I would have done the same thing.
No, I definitely agree.
I had the best deck at the table. I was feeling it, man. I got the equivalent of Recurring Nightmare. And, Survival of the Fittest. So it doesn't really matter what creatures you have at that point. But it just didn't work out for me. I couldn't take out two people at once. I did have the, like, buyback Vindicate, but you had to take a shot. And after doing like four shots just to stay in the game, I'm like, this is not sustainable.
No. At the four man preliminary table we did, like I had the mono white everybody drinks a little bit deck. The other two people just drafted like real Magic decks. And Jason's just sitting there taking shots the whole game, and I'm just like, I'm so jealous, you asshole.
It's too much fun. If you don't know about GP Vegas, you gotta check out the episode, Heavy Meta. Mevy Meta, actually. And I don't know what episode number it is. We could look it up real quick, but you gotta check that out. And you were actually on that cast too there, Slick, right?
Yeah, and I want to apologize for the poor audio quality and the inebriation. But I did recount a lot of really good stories, I will say that.
Hey, it's all about the stories, if you don't know, really. I mean, that's what makes everything. So, you know. So, Jay, here we go. GP Vegas, episode 58, Brainstorm Brewery, Mevy Meta. Check it out. If you haven't heard it, go catch it up. But in the meantime, won't you guys let our listeners know why we pulled you on to the cast that we want to talk about creating our own brew flavor.
So Marcel reached out to me after Oakland, Cause Marcel, and you know, I have a million thanks for Marcel, cause Marcel was the first person in the world that told me, hey, you know what? I see you like beer a lot. You should probably start writing about it. So I have a beer blog, that I write. It's roughdraft88.wordpress.com. It's D-R-A-U-G-H-T. As many Magic players know, a shitty pun. And it was inspired by Marcel's motivation, and I started writing. And then, so Marcel went to Oakland, as he said earlier, and my boy JR, Time Elemental from NYC, was like, yo, like, you guys need to make your own beer. Marcel reached out to me. He was like, hey, do you brew your own beer? I said, no, I don't. But my boy Mike, down the street, one of my best friends, is a home brewer, and we could definitely, you know, work together and cook something up, and now we're here. And we're ready to make that the official Brainstorm Brew, man.
Jake. Yeah, I was just gonna say, Slick Jagger and I kicked around the idea of doing a beer podcast at one point, but we didn't really know what we would have to say unique about beer other than, hey, we really like beer, but we don't know a ton about it that you can't find just looking online. So that idea never really took off, but I'm linking Rough Draft 88 in the show notes. You definitely want to check that out. I read his newest installment today. It's all good stuff. So if you're interested at all in beer, you should check out his blog.
Yeah, you watch. You're really big on aging beers, right? That's the
I am. I'm very big on aging beers. I'm very big on a lot of different styles of beers. I try not to lock. I have my favorite styles, but I try not to lock myself into, you know, one thing for the blog. I try to go out, and even things I wouldn't normally buy if it was just me going out to drink, I still want to, you know, write reviews on those other kinds and you know, expand the palate, as a wine connoisseur would say.
Okay, so explain to people that don't know, what is, you can age a brew, and what's the process, and what does it do to the brew, and everything about that.
So when you age beer, I think, you know, you, first of all, there's certain kinds of beer you don't want to age. And one of the main kinds of beer you don't want to age is actually one of my favorites, which is IPAs. IPAs are best drank fresh, because hops, you know, they're a fresh plant. The sooner you get to it, the sooner, you know, the better it is. And a lot of breweries recently have been doing, you know, enjoy by-esque series where they'll say, you know, we're putting this beer out on this date. You should drink it by this date. We're only making one batch of it. And that emphasizes the fact that, you know, IPA should be fresh, but any Belgian triples, Belgian quads, especially if you're into sours or gooses, those kind of beers you can sit on for 2 or 3 years. They're only going to get better. Stouts are outstanding. Barley wines are outstanding. Those kind of beers you can sit on over time. They're going to gain alcohol content little by little. If they're bottle conditioned, the brewers, if it says bottle conditioned on the bottle, the brewers are intending for you to be able to hold on to the beer. So that's going to allow the flavors to develop, the alcohol content to get a little higher, not overwhelming. I mean, usually most craft brews will gain about 1 to 3% alcohol content, you know, per year. And, it's a lot like wine, man. And a lot of people don't know that, but if you treat a beer right and you wait, it will treat you right back.
Sick, sick. So what's the highest, percentage alcohol, the most aged beer that you had that you drank out?
The highest percentage that I have is, I have probably around 3-year-old Dogfish Head 120-minute IPAs.
Nice.
And I know I said that you shouldn't age IPAs, but the Dogfish Head 120 is not really an IPA. It's more of a barley wine. Because when you buy it fresh, it starts at 18% alcohol. So the alcohol, if you're into the beer making and beer chemistry, the alcohol content there is just so far and away higher than most IPAs that it really takes it out of that category. But for branding, they want to label it that. And I've had one recently that was about 3 years old. I have 5 left, and I would put that probably at around 21 to 22% alcohol by volume.
Oh man.
And, as my father would say, that would put some hair on your chest.
And other places.
Where the sun don't shine. Yeah. I'm actually drinking the Dogfish Head right now, the 90 minute IPA.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Are we all doing Dogfish Head?
Are
I'm
you
actually drinking a Dogfish Head Midas Touch tonight.
Oh man.
There you go. That's Delaware, man. That's where I'm from. I've been in Philly for 7 years, but I grew up in Delaware, and I have much love for Dogfish Head.
They make good beer. I had to grab it.
We didn't even plan that. I didn't know it was Dogfish Night. This is just what I had in the fridge that I've been sitting on.
So, Ryan, what do you got in Corbin?
I guess I'm the lame one out. I don't really have anything exciting that I'm drinking tonight.
You drinking water is what you're saying?
Yes.
Is it sex in a canoe or is it water?
No, I'm actually currently drinking a Baja Blast from Taco Bell, because that was what my dick was. Very unexciting, but water as well.
Sex in a canoe is what we call Bud Light or Miller Light or anything like that.
Because it's fucking near water.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you.
Someone knows.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you, Jason.
All right, Corbin, I suggest that you don't even want to tell us what you have, because...
Bud Light is like a regional pastime around here.
Oh, do you have lime or no lime in your Bud Light?
I am drinking a lime. Slightly.
Corbin, let me just say this. In Philadelphia, that's like a college town, and most college guys are just all about the Bud Light. So even though me and Slick have just this fine selection of beers, this is still pretty much just a Bud Light city. And also, fuck those people.
I will have to say that Leinenkugel is a step up. Why? It's not a big step up, but it's a step up.
So are you a beer snob? Could we consider you that?
I'm certainly not, because I drink Bud Light all the time. More than I care to
on purpose. He drinks it on purpose.
I mean, no, I certainly will not choose it if given an option. I would choose a Coors Light.
That's much better. Oh, man's got to have standards. I'd never drink Bud Light if there's a Coors Light available.
Dude,
what do I look like, a Philistine?
The moment you said on purpose, Slick literally like muted his mic and just broke down laughing. I'm just gonna tell you that.
Oh my god.
Like I have had people like, you know, this is where I live. I've had people not in college bring beer to get togethers that is a step down from Bud Light. They bring stuff like Hams or Natty Light over and think that that's where it's at. So
Natty Light is reaching pretty low right there. I had those back when I was, you know, 16, you know.
Yeah, Natty Light was like what you drank in high school.
If you're really trying to save money, paint thinner is actually a little bit cheaper than it was.
That's actually reserved for Kevy Metal. He's the only person I know that actually just drinks paint thinner.
Yeah. I'm out of vodka. Go right to the paint thinner, right?
Yeah. Well, the vodka that he buys is cheaper than paint thinner, so I assume that 80% of it is just paint thinner.
Well, he gets it from the job. They use it as actual paint thinner. And
yeah.
He gets reserves for himself.
There you go.
Some Motika.
Oh my god, I'm still here, yeah.
Hey, why don't you tell people about who you are and, what you do as far as making your brews and your whole process.
I mean, I wouldn't say I do anything, you know, out of the box crazy as opposed to other people who brew, but brewing is an excellent pastime, especially for people who play Magic, who just have plenty of time on their hands, you know. And...
I don't believe you.
Are you implying that while other people are out getting laid, you can be at home building decks and homebrewing?
I mean, like, you know, you could like again, when you homebrew, it's like do a step, wait an hour, do a step, wait an hour. So you could like do a step, get laid, do a step, get laid. But yeah, you know, basically you just have a lot of free time.
There you go. Free time's good. You could run a moto draft while you wait.
Yeah. Moto is expensive. I don't know what you're talking about. That's what I leave Slick to the Moto drafts. But, me and my roommate, we brew a lot of beer. I was like, when I was growing up, my father brewed beers all the time, so I just sort of inherited it, I guess. And when I heard that, you know, I was like, Brainstorm Brewery, I heard a mention that they were like looking for somebody to brew a beer, and I was just like, fuck it, I'll do it. But, you know, I wanted input from you guys and maybe even viewers, but mostly just the guys on the cast on what I would brew. Because frankly, I can just do anything. Like,
so what are some of your favorite brews that you made yourself that you liked?
I mean, my favorite's like a jalapeno ale, but you know, I love the spice. Some people are just like, you know, you drink a beer and then your mouth is spicy and they're just like, fuck this shit. But like, and then there's like a black IPA. We've done barley wines. Barley wines just sort of, you know, I wouldn't do a barley wine for this fucking, for a Brainstorm Brewery because those take like 8 months to do. So that seems highly unrealistic. But, you know, you can just make, I could make almost anything beer-wise. Like, it won't be exactly like maybe some craft brews you've got, but like, if you want a wit, I can do a wit. If you want a dark beer, I can do a stout. I can do a lager. I can do something of fruit. I can do anything. But I think we were talking about earlier that we would like a Belgian wit for heavy meta, because you don't want something too strong, because we're thinking about finance here, right?
Yeah, heavy meta is the other cat's is Brainstorm Brewery, but yeah.
Shit, Brainstorm Brewery, damn it.
Somebody's
clearly sampling. Yes. It's fine.
It's all lovely, you know. But
it's that jalapeno fumes are going to his head.
But yeah, so finance cast. I mean, a wit would be nice. I mean, I'm an IPA person myself. But any thoughts, Jason, Corbin, Ryan, which you guys are interested in, otherwise?
I think Belgian wit's kind of where we landed.
Yeah, so Jason's the expert here. I by no means drink enough beer to really be the say on it.
So what we can do actually is I think we should probably, if you want to go in the comment section on Gathering Magic and vote. We'll give you a few options. I'll see if they can actually insert a poll for us into the physical show notes. So if you wanted to actually vote in the poll, we'll have a few options, and then whatever wins, if nothing unseats the Belgian wit, that's what we'll go with. But this is your one and only chance to vote on what the actual Brainstorm brew that will be available to our fans will be.
All right, so we'll have a couple options there. We'll pick them. A wit, maybe an IPA, maybe, I like that, IPA stout you were talking about.
Yeah, the black IPA is fantastic, but, you know, that might be a little too heavy for some people, but me and Slick would drink a case of those, no problem.
Might be too heavy for me.
Oh. We gotta have if you can't drink it, then we can't have it, so yeah, we'll do something that Corbin could drink.
Yeah, we got the dead weight.
Well, the black IPA though, you know, those are, you know, they're dark as night in color, but they're usually the palate and the consistency is what you would expect from an IPA. It's not like, it's not like a Guinness. It's not super malty. It's not like your traditional stout or porter. A black IPA is usually lighter, usually more flavorful as far as the hop profile and other things standing out in it. So personally, I think that's the option that I would go with. But, you know, we'll let the viewers and the cast decide.
Yeah, so we'll have you come to Gathering Magic. We got our comments there, gatheringmagic.com. On this episode, this is episode 67. We're going to have this open for 3 weeks. And then from there, we're going to pick 20 people at random. Whoever signs up and, you know, votes in, will send you tokens to you, you know, at cost. So only 20 people I'm going to pick at random. So, you know, make sure you sign up. And then I guess one of those people that sign up and give a good a comment and make an actual vote will send some special prize. You won't know what it is yet. We probably don't know what it is yet, but you'll get something nicer than just some tokens. Tokens are sweet as fuck, but, you know, always something more. So make sure you vote. You know, give us, cause you guys don't like to do anything. Like, the only time you guys ever send us any kind of feedback is to complain about stuff, so, you know.
It's not finance, I promise you. However, you could possibly benefit from this.
We berate our listeners more than any other podcast. I don't know why we have any.
No, we love our listeners. Like, I can't, every time I was at GP Oak and I met a few people there, they're like, yeah, listen to Castle. They were just awesome people to talk to. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't remember all the names. I remember Tom, he was cool, and there's the other guy from Netherlands. There's a few people there, and you know, that's the thing about it. Brainstorm Brew, we got a cool group of people that actually listen to the cast, so, you know.
I mean, I agree. I love the cast, and I don't even remember the name when I'm on the cast, apparently.
Hey, we blur in. We actually might do that with the brew crew. I'm gonna have to talk to Maddie, but you know, everyone out there, I know we were talking about the brew crew and get it going on the Magic Online, Moto clan with, us out there. And you know, I've just been very busy with work. So things haven't been able to come together like I want to. So we need to find someone that wants to take over and be the leader of the crew and work it together. We're going to try to merge with, Heavy Meta or something. We're going to figure it out. But, we got to do something so that we're more on Moto because, you know, Theros is coming and Theros is looking sick and we need to get a presence of people out there that want to get on Moto and play and can bring everyone together. So, you know, so let's move into Theros actually, you know, now that we're talking about it. We got some sick cards.
The subject.
We're on the subject of Theros, and there's some new cards that came out. And there is Merfolk, and they don't look as exciting as I would hope for.
At least it's mythic.
I love
it. So you won't have your heart broken too many times.
That's true. I love that the god, they totally rickrolled you. They could have made it a god Merfolk, because it's absolutely a Merfolk looking thing.
How would they fit on the card? There's no room for a guy.
Right. Yeah, I understand why they didn't do it. Plus, like, then they have to come up with a creature type for each one. But I still think it's a real blowout. That's why I actually mentioned three Merfolk, because there's three things in the set so far that look like a Merfolk. Only one of them is actually a Merfolk.
No, there's two Merfolk. There are two creature type Merfolk in the set.
Is there? Okay.
We have two Merfolk in the set so far. The Mythic and Wavecrash Trident, which is a common. And, it actually is not, you know, the worst.
Oh, you're saying that because you would.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. Okay, for the Master of Waves, 4 mana cost mythic, it's a 2/1. I got so excited when I first saw this. It's 4 cost.
You got so excited you skipped all the white cards.
Protection from, we'll talk about Merfolk. Protection from red. And then, elemental creatures you control get +1/+1. And I died a little inside. Because it's a mythic Merfolk that pumps other creatures of a certain creature type, and that creature type is not Merfolk.
Because you needed another lord.
Sure. Okay, so the rest of the card, when it enters the battlefield, put a number of, 1/0 blue elemental creature tokens on the battlefield equal to your devotion to blue. So, you automatically, for just having it, get 1 token.
Oh boy, how exciting.
Comes into
and
play.
If it dies, which is a 2/1 for 4, they all die.
They become 1/0s and eat it.
Yeah, I had a wake up last night. I was like, this car is awesome. Wait, what is this power and toughness? I was thinking maybe, you know, a 3/3 or a 3/2 or something. And I was like, ah, it's probably a 2/2. And I looked, it was a 2/1. I was like, yeah, this car sucks.
2/1
for
4.
Though, it must be mentioned that, if you really want to go deep, Corbin, because I know you really want this card to be good, if you play it with Dark Prophecy in a way to sacrifice your own guy, you can make a ton of things. No. And Night Vale Spectre does fit in there quite well. Just throwing that out there.
Night Vale Spectre.
It's both colors. You can play both gods if you really want to. I'm building this deck for you, Corbin.
I've never heard anybody say anything good about Master of the Waves without saying Young Pyromancer. Literally nobody has had anything to say other than, other creatures also make elementals. And that's pretty much what you say.
When I think about Merfolk and I see new ones, I always just think about them in terms of eternal playability. So like the protection from red is nice. Because that does dodge quite a few removal spells in Modern. And, but if you think about it, like, if you play this guy, if they're killing it, they're not killing one of your actual Merfolk lords. Like, this guy is usually an army.
Oh, stop it.
No, let me finish. But the reason it's not...
It doesn't even make Merfolk. Stop. The
reason it's not good is because if you're doing anything with this card, it means you're winning anyways. Like, if you're actually making an army that they care about with it, it means you have several more folk in play already, and that's, like, you're doing fine. I mean, so that's kind of how I came to the conclusion that it's not really, I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you certainly test it out, I guess, and see, but it feels pretty weak in an eternal shell to me.
All I know is, I don't remember the last 2/1 creature for 4 mana that was playable.
Yeah, this is, I'm not excited about this. I mean,
they made a Merfolk even Corbin couldn't love.
I mean, the good thing, Master Biomancer just looks kind of juicy. Other than that, I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of things you can, like, I mean, you know, Master Biomancer into Lingering Souls, Flashback Lingering Souls look juicy too, and never happened, like.
Yeah, but this is the same colors. I made a deck that actually worked. But it wasn't great. It was like tier 2.5, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like,
Could you feel how this sucked the energy out of the cast? We started, we were like, oh, we're going to make a beer. We're excited. We're going to do a contest. And then
Corbett had to talk about Merfolk.
And then we had to talk about Merfolk, and I kind of just want to take a nap.
Well, that's what happens.
You guys are literally killing me.
That's what happens. Wizard trolls us. So let's talk about
trolls us. Hold wait. Where's this us in the
Merfolk? Yeah, don't blame wizards.
Gavin came on the cast and he laughed at you in your face as you were just so happy about all the merfolk that were going to merge.
He did
with
the little merfolk, yes.
He did that. That's true. Anyway, it's funny too because he actually was the one who spoiled this card.
I hope there's like three merfolk in every set from here on out, and they're all terrible.
But think about how the people that like really like minotaurs have got to feel. Like they finally got their first like almost fringe playable minotaur in this Minotaur Lord, but everything else has been like, I'm a 5/7 for 8 mana.
I mean, I feel like that's the whole set. The whole set. Oh my! And we just see
so slow.
We just see the new bestow cards. So basically, we got all the new the bestow cards with the cool border. I guess the enchantment border. So they're basically of the god. And they're all 2/2s that can be played, except for a couple that are
3/3s.
3/3s. They're all 2/2s, but they cost 2/3 mana, except for one's a 4, one's a 2, which is the green one. But their bestow cost, actually, now we got a bestow cost that is at 4. They just updated the green one. So the green one is an actual bear. This is probably the best card in for limited, I think. Now.
Yeah. What is that?
Well, it's the Leaf Crown Dryad. It just got updated on Mythic Spoiler right now. They didn't
have it. We try to go somewhat systematically. I know Corbin let us get all fucked up by jumping to blue, but like,
I think let's
have some semblance of system.
All right. Well, I think this is very important because bestow is a big part mechanic of the set, and this is going to be probably their flagship bestow cards right here.
Yeah, Marshall Zuckleff just spoiled all of the cycle. A couple of them were spoiled already, but he spoiled the entire cycle on his latest post. And it's all the +2/+2 bestow guys.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the black one do then? Because the black one's not up on Mythic.
The black one was already spoiled.
It's intimidate creature gets +2/+2 and has intimidate. And it's a 2/2. Its bestow cost is 6. The blue one is bestow cost is 5. The white one is 5. The red one is 6, and then the green one is 4. The green one gives
you... Oh, that was Cameron Lampad, alright.
Yeah, the green one gives you reach, the red one gives you first strike, the black one gives you intimidate, the blue one gives you flying, and the white one gives you vigilance. They all give the creatures +2/+2, and when your creature dies, you basically got the creature, which is a 2/2, left over with those abilities. So these are gonna be like the flagship of bestow cards in the set. Especially unlimited. And I mean, right now, just looking off the bat, I think it's probably the green and the blue ones, which are probably the most powerful ones, just because.
I'd say so, yeah.
I think they're all super good, though, unlimited.
2/2 vigilance for 3 just kind of eats dicks, though.
Yeah, but I mean, they're all good. Like, you would play them unlimited, but as far as, like, you know, just being, like, very dominant. I think, like, the green one is a bear outright. And
I totally agree with Marcel. I mean, I think the green, anything that's green and has reach has a soft spot in my heart. So, the fact that you can cast this guy as a 2/2 with reach, or you can cast him as a 2/2 enchantment that gives reach, like a +2/+2 enchantment that gives reach.
Yeah.
Fantastic for limited.
And this is the cheapest bestow card, like this is at 4. So this might be the cheapest that we'll see it. I doubt we'll get something better for the set, and I'm kind of disappointed with that actually.
Alright, do we want to talk about something financially relevant?
Like Elspeth?
I was gonna say, like, Mr. Tumnus the Fawn.
Yeah, we said financially relevant, not Elspeth.
we could talk about the other planeswalker they've spoiled.
Yeah, that guy's sick. I just saw him.
Xenagos the Reveler? I'm assuming it's Xenagos? It's probably Xenagos.
Is he not in Born of the Gods?
No, he's actually in Theros. He was just spoiled, like, 30 seconds ago. So this guy is Xenagos the Reveler. He costs 2 colors, a red and a green.
Who's this? What?
No, it's all Mythic Spoiler.
He's green. Spoiler. He's gold. Green red.
Yes, he's red green.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he's way at the bottom. I just found him. He's sick.
I was looking
Can I read him? All right. 3 loyalty. His +1 is add X mana to your mana pool in any combination of red and green. X is the number of creatures you control. His 0 is put a 2/2 red and green satyr token into play with haste. and his -6 is exile the top 7 cards of your library. You can put any number of creatures and or lands among them onto the battlefield.
He creates tokens which protect him for free at 4. That's actually pretty good. And yeah, he can create mana. He can create mana on his plus, which yeah. creatures are sworn to. This guy is insane. He's probably one of the best planeswalkers we got in a long time.
The fact that it's 0 and not -1.
Yeah,
or something.
He has real potential.
How much is he pre-selling for? I would actually buy cards for this. This guy is badass.
Well, let's see. Cause Star City got the spoiler, so I'm sure he's $95 or something.
If he's 20, I would buy him at 20.
I don't think that a planeswalker will.
I mean,
I'm not the spoiler. I'm not the financial guy, but this card is not good. I don't
probably know. Plays well with Domri.
How is this card not good?
Like look at Garrick Relentless and then look at this card. Garrick Relentless is much better than this card, and then look at the cost of Garrick Relentless.
Oh,
like, I don't know how else to say this.
He's 40.
Garrick was 4 as well. I mean,
this guy's $40 on Star City, so
that's about. I wouldn't buy in at 40. I think that's.
I wouldn't buy in at 15. I don't really like him as much as you guys do.
And this card is only good in certain decks, but I do like the card a lot. Like, I think elves have used the fuck out of this card.
Well, I mean,
I love Domri Raid, and he's been cocky about planeswalkers ever since.
I love Domri. Like,
I think
the problem
guy,
is you can't jam in the same deck, really.
I disagree.
You got token fodder that you can fight with all day, so they can't keep it.
It's not necessarily that. It's just like the fact that you're gonna have, like, you can't cut down too many creatures.
No, but you can probably play Domri this and Mizzium Mortars and creatures, like.
Yeah, potentially.
Alright, well, I like the card. I think this is one of the best planeswalkers we had in a while. For 4 mana, this is a beast. Wait, what does the ultimate do? We haven't even looked at that.
Yeah, exile the top 7 cards of your library. You can put any number of creatures and or lands onto the battlefield.
I think this deck's probably good. Especially if the format's gonna slow down a little bit with Theros, you know, not appearing to be super fast. And I think that Domri is so strong in the same colors probably props him up some. So
no, the fact that you have a good planeswalker in those colors means you don't have to bother playing him.
Maybe. I mean, they do play well together. But like, I think the Garrick Relentless comparison is pretty relevant because they are similar. And I mean, his +1 is probably not better than Garrick's fight ability. On the other hand, it's an actual plus, so I don't know.
If you're a little behind, it actually does nothing.
Yeah. You see, Garrick was relevant pretty much to all standard.
But he was also, I mean, he was never $40 for an extended period of time, so.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying he's buying at 40, but anyway.
Domri is super playing. Domri's 25, so.
I'm more excited about this than Elspeth. Elspeth is pretty decent card. I actually warmed up more than Elspeth.
Let's just go ahead and read Elspeth then.
Go ahead, Jason. You're so excited about her, you know?
Well, you know.
I think it's fine.
I'll go ahead and find her then. Cause I changed browser windows. Elspeth. Boy, we sound like real goddamn professionals right now.
Elspeth is 6 mana, 4 colorless, 2 white. Starts with 4 loyal. +1, put 3/1/1 white soldier creature tokens on the battlefield. -3, destroy all creatures with power 4 or greater. -7, you get an emblem with creatures you control, get +2/+2 and have flying. I think it's solid. Like, 6 mana is a lot, for sure. But that +1 is pretty nutty about defending her.
Wasn't that the +1 on 5 mana Elspeth?
No, it was the -, right?
Yeah, it was -2.
It was a -.
Gained you life.
Oh, it was gained life, yeah.
So, I mean, like, 6 mana is a lot, but a plus ability that gives you 3 creatures to block with also creates a Elspeth subgame that's pretty relevant.
Yeah, the first Elspeth to have +1 to give you 1 token was pretty, you know, OP. You know, sure, this is 6, but 3 is just like, that could just turn into just nuts.
Not to mention that it's certainly not a wrath, but like, it's not terribly far off either.
It doesn't help you against the decks that are gonna beat you. If you're playing a planeswalker on 6, gonna lose to is smaller creatures that can get there fast. This does dick against them, except make chump blockers.
Well, I mean, it creates that subgame. Like, so you're playing against, you know, a red-green or red-white kind of, or a green-white aggro deck or whatever, just deck that wants to kill you by attacking you. You get to 6 mana to play Elspeth. It doesn't matter if they're chump blocking because your Elspeth is getting protected with those chump blocks and continues to do it. And it creates the can they kill Elspeth subgame because, by the time, like, if you get 2 turns with her, it makes 6 1-1s, like, that green-white deck is having a very difficult time getting to you and killing you.
Yeah, if you get that emblem, oh my god, that's game over for just.
I mean, yeah, it's great if you get the
emblem. Turn 10?
Right, like I said, the emblem's kind of meh because it does cost so much, but like, I guess it does matter that it's building something relevant. But,
because all you're gonna do is just keep going, building towards the emblem, because you're just gonna keep pumping out and shitting out fucking tokens. Right. And that's just gonna be, like, it's like Domri. Like, Domri, as much as, like, you know, it takes, like, five turns to get to his ultimate, but all he does is tick away, you know? And if your planeswalker is protected and no damage is getting in, like, that's just a clock that's really hard to look at. And
yeah. And I mean, compare it to Gideon, and that they both are, you know, good against decks that attack you. Obviously Gideon, like, would block 8 points of power at the max or whatever, 5 mana. Well, this can potentially stop a lot more power than that, because of the chump block ability, you know, while building up. So like I said, it just creates that Elspeth subgame, where people absolutely cannot ignore it because of what the plus one does. So it's $25 pre-order. What do you guys think about it at that price?
Nope. It's like $10 to $10, maybe $12 card.
I think it could be a little more than that for a while, but 25 is not a price I buy in at for sure.
If this were a set that
was going to get bought a little less.
Right.
Otika, you guys got, what kind of cards are you looking at that you're excited about that you're seeing?
I'll take this one. I'm pretty sure Slick has an idea, but I love the red god, Perforus, god of the forge.
So read it for our viewers, because this is the first time. We only got the blue god last time we talked about it.
Perforus is red 3-colorless, indestructible, legendary enchantment creature god, because that's the thing. as long as your devotion to red is 5, which means you have 5 red mana symbols and things you control, he's a 6/5 creature, which is, it's pretty big for 4 mana. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, it deals 2 damage to each opponent. Then 3 mana creatures you control get plus and plus O, 2 in red, 3 mana. You know, when I saw this card, I just heard a bunch of people in my mind, like a million guys were just like, all I have to do is play 10 creatures to kill a guy, challenge accepted.
Yeah, I mean, you do Ash Zealot into this, you can do a one drop, there's gotta be some one drop, you know.
You play this with Master of Waves.
You just play this with Assemble the Legion.
People were talking about Legion's initiative to get there, and I was like, what about Assemble the Legion?
What about Young Pyromancer?
Yeah, Young Pyromancer too. Like, it's just a clock. Okay. I was actually thinking, last week Doug Lynn said, hey, if there's some sort of win condition that you can get with Enduring Ideal, you could actually just get Porphyros and then get Assemble the Legion and then just wait. That could actually just be hilarious.
I mean, but you're playing Enduring Ideal.
What's wrong with that? You got Maish in the Mind Cage.
Is that clock faster than Form of the Dragon?
Or it's much less risky.
Is it faster than Form of the Dragon? One, then two, then three, then four? No, probably not. Because it takes 4 turns to get to, or 5 turns to get to 10 instead of 2.
No, it's 2, then 4, then 6.
Oh, that's right, yeah. One creature. So yeah, 2, 4, 6.
It's not faster, like it's the same thing.
But so, you're not at 5.
And you also are putting blockers in play.
Man.
I mean, that's all true.
Wet Blanket Corbin, fuck.
I mean, you have to have 2 cards. The Dragon doesn't have 1 card. You're talking about playing Enduring Ideal. I mean, let's have the conversation about Enduring Ideal. Like, you have to get 2 enchantments.
When he was seriously talking about playing Enduring Ideal. Why don't you go talk about how much you love Mr. Tumnus, the Planeswalker.
Okay. Yes, we're talking about it. I'm sorry that I brought us back to reality. Go on.
I think that my favorite card that has been spoiled so far, as lame as it sounds, is Xanax and Cyanide.
Really?
Anax and Cymedi.
Anal and Chlamydia.
Yeah, Anal and Chlamydia. Yeah, that's right. I just think that it just fits right into the Naya aggro lists, and it's super strong with First Strike and Vigilance for 3. The bonus is great. And if you have your, it's escaping me right now, but the 2 mana guy that gives you 2 mana and then you cast your light. Yeah, you cast your lightning mauler off of that, and you just go to town.
I don't know if you're gonna have lightning mauler at exit siphon.
And then, you know, I don't want to talk about the thing that, you know, you guys don't talk about, but, you know, there's another card that was spoiled for Theros that, that's pretty powerful that could have been in Modern Masters, but wasn't.
Yeah, this is the biggest card of Theros.
Yeah.
And that card is definitely my card that I would like to hear your opinion on is Thoughtseize.
Thank God, I guess.
I like $25 Thoughtseizes a lot more than I like $75 Thoughtseizes.
Amen to that.
You know how many $75 Thoughtseizes I've sold in the last 12 months? 3 to the same guy. You know how many I'm going to sell at $25 that I can just, you know, buy at 12 when people crack these in a pack? I'm going to sell them all day and all night. As soon as it gets up on TCG Player, it's going to be gone. Okay, especially with, you know, Modern Season coming up. $25 Thoughtseize is amazing for anybody who sells cards.
Modern Season's not coming up.
Is it in the future?
Yeah, sure. Thoughtseize was 30, 35.
Is GP Detroit Modern?
As we know, at the beginning of the year, remember, Thoughtseize jumped up to 60 and then, you know, kind of rose up from there, was 70, 75, lots of places. Since it was spoiled, the Lorwyn ones have already come down, like, the average $5 on TCG Player. They are out of stock. Star City lowered the price to 40 on them. Cool Stuff has Lorwyn ones at 50, and the pre-sale across the board seems to be 30 for the new one after it started out at 25. So what do you think about the $30 pre-order on Thoughtseize?
Wait for them to come down.
Yeah, eventually will. Yeah. This is going to be drafted like ridiculously.
Outside of GP Detroit, when's the next Modern tournament? Like major one.
And again, this is a big, big, small set. So this is going to be drafted the entire year as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think, so where do you guys think it comes down to? Like, I think
I would also say to keep in mind that, you know, legacy people also love Thoughtseize.
Yeah. I mean, it could hit 20. I don't think it's going to go much lower than 20 because actually, I'm an old art fan. I like old art and everything, but this art looks like I might have to get this.
So Scavenging News, remember, was 40 to 50 for a while after it was originally printed. Got reprinted, briefly hit, you know, 12 to 14, and since then has climbed back up to 20. With Thoughtseize, the comparison, the original Thoughtseize Amoron was printed more than the original Scavenging News was, and it went up to a higher price.
Yeah, but Ooze was never a 4-of.
Right, and the new Thoughtseize.
The Ooze is a 4-of now.
Right, the new Thoughtseize will be opened up more than M14 Scavenging News. So, I mean, I guess, like, that's kind of the comparison I look at, is I see it behaving similarly to Scavenging News, and that it probably maybe goes down to 15, but is more likely to be around 20 for the foreseeable future.
If only just because the price is sticky and nobody's going to be really willing to you know, put them down that much because people will still buy them at 25 or 20, probably. Like, the price just does, there's no reason for the price to go lower.
Right.
See, for Moto, like, we got a weird, precedent set. So, you know, Scavenging News went down to 650 tickets and now it's climbing up to 7 and it might stay about there. But really, like, Snapcaster was our precedent. Snapcaster never really went above 7 or 8 ticks ever, you know, and that was like a disappointment for me because I bought in some Snapcasters and I just made it like a couple dollars on them. So like, sure, you got a Restoration Angel and you had Thragtusk that broke the $10 barrier, but there's so few cards that are actually going to break rares on Moto that are actually going to break the $10 barrier. And, I mean, I could see Thoughtseize being there for a little bit, but just because it's going to be drafted so much, I could see Thoughtseize going down to $7, $8 card on Moto. It'll take a few months, but eventually I could see that settling there. So if anybody's going to buy in, I would definitely buy in at that time because that's going to be probably the best price you'll ever see on this card.
Yeah. And some people, I had several people ask me, like, you know, do I pre-order Thoughtseize now or do I wait? And I advise everyone to wait for 3 months to see the price come down. One of the more interesting questions I got is, somebody who was looking for who wanted the original art on Thoughtseize. So they want the ones from Lorwyn. Where do you see the price of Lorwyn copies going at this point?
They're gonna drop down on, at least on Moto, I know they're dropping right now. They were at 27. They shot up after Modern Masters said there was no Thought Seize. And they shot up to 27 and they stayed there and now they're at 23. And I think they'll eventually crash to about 15, 12, maybe. And, that'll be about the lowest they'll get and it'll go up from there. Everyone wants the older art and older art's always more valuable regardless of whatever, so.
It's really not. If you look at Dark Confident right now, everywhere that's got them is practically selling them for the same price.
Yeah, but we're so close to Modern Masters. Like, I honestly think you can't just make a value judgment on that right now. It's too early. We will see in a year's time exactly where that ends up. And maybe the Modern Masters may be more expensive. We don't know, but like to make a judgment on that, I think it's too early to actually make that kind of call.
So what about Thought Seize and paper? What do you guys
think? I don't think it'll matter too much. I think there's going to be enough people that just want a Thought Seize.
Right.
And don't care about the art. That's the majority of people.
Right. So that's
in my experience.
Right. So people I agree. Most people are going to want the new one. So does that create the argument then? If you're a retailer, if somebody wants the old one, they're going to pay whatever it is for the old one and you don't drop the price as much. Or do we think it'll following suit with the new one and go down?
Yeah, if y'all's a retailer, I would keep my old Thought Seizes at higher, maybe cut it a little bit and just crack new ones and sell those at the lower price.
Really? If I were retail, I would sell my cards and get money for those cards.
At this point, they crashed, you know.
Well, Jason, what do you think it's gonna do then?
You should have sold last week when they first got announced.
No, you should have sold months ago
Of course. It was 75 and...
Yeah. I sold mine when Masters came out, most people who...
Yeah, I did too. I had my Thought Seize and it was gone.
Everyone should have done. That's what we told people to do. And it worked out. But Jason, where do you think original printing Thought Seize goes in the next few months then?
I don't see there's going to be a big difference. And it could be that, Bob is a bad example, because I think, that the price of Bob is being artificially inflated just by virtue of one actor having bought a lot of the Modern Masters copies. But I don't think that the people who want the alt art or the new art, the old art, I don't think that's significant. I don't think that's gonna drive the price. I think people who want Thought Seize are just gonna want Thought Seize and just buy whatever Thought Seize is at hand.
Right, so you see the original printing coming down as well. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the advice I gave to the person who asked, is that, you know, it will always probably likely be more expensive than the new one, just by virtue of, you know, print numbers, and numbers in circulation, but I think it's going to come down as the new one comes down. So yeah, I mean, did we answer the question about Thought Seize well enough then?
You put him to sleep. We gotta, so let's move into picks of the week. So, you know, let's see what you guys got to say about your guys' picks of the week.
It's time for the pick of the
So, you want to start off, Slick?
Well, yeah, I would really enjoy that. I think that, I'm going to do picks of the week for beers. As much as I love Moto, I'm with Marcel. I'm in the Moto camp. I don't really play paper anymore.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Save money.
exactly. But, all this money on beers, man. I think that, you know, I'm gonna pull a Corbin. I think I have two picks of the week for beers and these are beers that I would age. One is the Firestone Walker Tsukaba, Tsukaba. If you can find it, it is outstanding. If you can find it, go put it in your basement, put it in a cellar. Put it somewhere where it can just sit there and get nice. That beer will only reward you with age as far as, you know, the taste and the complexity of the flavors, as well as the value that you could get out of it in a beer trade if you're into that kind of thing. Which this is a finance podcast, so, you know, trading, that's what it's all about.
That's right, and Corbin can't say anything because he derailed us with his talk of soda finance a few months back.
Oh my god!
That's true.
There you
go. So if Surge is worth something, then definitely an aged Firestone Walker is going to be worth something as well.
Amen to that. And the second one that I would recommend is there's a place called The Brewery. It's a B-R-U-E-R-Y, not spelled the traditional way. They're from Cali, and they have a beer called The Boys, which is B-O-I-S. It has a golden wax top. It's like the old school, you know, like Maker's Mark bottles, except for the wax is golden colored, and it's actually wax, not plastic like Maker's Mark is now. If you're on the left coast, which Marcel, I know you are, if you can get a hold of that, that beer is fantastic. Just anything the brewery makes is unreal. And if you can hold on to that for a couple of years, you will reap the rewards. If you plan to drink it in a couple of years, or if you want to ship it and get your value's worth, if you buy any of the brewery beers, but especially the Boys, Black Tuesday, a couple of their other stuff, if you age those for a couple of years, you will have people on the East Coast, in Europe, in Canada, clamoring for that, and you will be able to at least triple to quadruple your value on a beer trade, or just straight cash, either way. So those are my picks. And you know, magic-wise, you know, pick things that exile enchantments. I don't know.
Like Merciless Eviction?
Exile. Well, there's that guy from Innistrad, right? The wolf that exiles enchantments.
Silver I thought Chase that was Fox. Cute.
Yeah, Silver Chase Fox. He rotates in standard, but you know, it's not like these gods are just gonna see standard play.
So far, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if they're there to make it to modern yet. We'll see.
I just like the concept of Silver Chase Fox being good, so. that shows my magic finance insight. I just play limited and beat people with green decks. I don't know.
Hey, you're doing well with green on this next one.
There you go.
All right, Motika, do you have a pick for us?
All right, like, I'll follow him with beer. If you can get your hands on a Dogfish 120, this is more for the East Coast. If you can get a Dogfish 120, try and get like 5. somehow save one of them as you drink the other 4. And that one you save, like Steve said, will just get up to like 23% and, you know, beer. But magic card wise, trait doctoring. Because, you know, devotion and trait doctoring works out in a funny way.
You can't even keep a straight face. I know you're fucking with us on the trait doctoring.
I would
Did Ryan put you up to this?
I would actually posit I'm the most competitive player out of all of us, and I'm trying to sell trait doctoring.
So here. How would you do it? Give us the combo.
Alright. So you got a Boros Reckoner and a Burning Tree emissary in play, and the Blue God. And then all of a sudden, trait doctoring, your devotion is red on the Blue God, and boom. The God's a creature or something. I don't know.
Why don't you just play Night Vale Spectre? It has.
That'd be red Night Vale Spectre?
Well, no, you got a blue Night Vale Spectre, and then you got devotion without the trait doctrine.
All right. We can only play one bad card in our deck. Is it going to be Night Vale Spectre or trait doctrine?
I think it's going to be the one that attacks and flies.
He's actually a card in block. He's according to Jason. I actually do not know.
No, that. He is. Like it was heavily played at the Pro Tour.
He's a card in Vintage too, because you're not going to hit them and flip up something you probably can't cast in Vintage.
Well, Vintage and Standard are not correlated.
Vintage really drives the prices of bulk rares, as it is a one of format. It's not financially relevant, but it's still a card.
Night Vale Spectre was played in block. I mean, that's just period. Like it had, it's not some horrible card that you never saw play on its own. That does not, I'm not saying it's good or bad or whatever, but like it's just, it was played.
No, let me say I love Night Vale Spectre, but let's just try and give trait doctoring some light.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Alright.
We don't need to poop, we're pooping on the guest cards. That's really rude of us, you know.
Like, let's be serious. I have played on a pro tour. Like, I'm a competitive player. But please, let's trait doctor some stuff.
So, I like the reason.
So as a competitive player, what are some of the cards that you're excited in Theros to play with?
Competitively, honestly, the cards that only, like, Purphoros actually seems good to me. Like, just the red god. Like, he looks actually powerful. The other three gods, I couldn't care less about.
Yeah.
Chain to rock seems real good. The one white enchantment, enchant mountain, exile a creature as long as chain to rock's in play. That card is real good on a Synchro Foundry. So, yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, that card competitively, if that doesn't see play, then I don't understand. But everything else in the set so far, I just couldn't care less about, to be honest.
Okay.
All right. That's honest, at least.
I'll throw one out there. Underworld Connections.
Did we do that last week?
Did we? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I did that in Gatecrash.
Yeah, I'm going to act like we didn't. We didn't do it last week if we did. I don't remember. Anyways, you know, it's that enchantment from Return to Ravnica that's one colorless, two black, put on a land, and you can tap the land, pay a life, draw a card. You know, it saw some play last year at different times. But, it gets better now, both because of the double, because of the double black cost and its mana. And it's an enchantment. It's got a lot of things going for it, and it is pretty cheap right now, so it's pretty difficult to lose by getting in on these.
And it's good for slow, grindy decks, and if this, you know, Theros really slows down standard, you know, it will find its place.
Yeah, I mean, it's it kind of could possibly compete with Deadbridge Chant in that the non-blue deck source of card advantage. If you're blue deck, you're just playing, you know, Jace and Sphinx's Revelation and so on. So it's the other decks that need to find card advantage that could take advantage of Underworld Connections, like some sort of Jund deck, I could see.
It's not a tough case to make because Jund's already running it now.
Yeah, well, I play, you know, the rock deck, basically. I played that for a while. I sold my deck recently. But, I tried to jam Deadbridge Chant in that deck. And, yeah, you want to play the four of this card way before you even put one Deadbridge Chant first. Because it gives you the advantage that you want cheaply. And sure, you take the life damage. But if you're able to counteract that, it's nothing.
At least it's optional. It's not going to kill you Phyrexian Arena would.
Correct.
Right, and this, we lose Thrag Tusk, but Scavenging Ooze will still be around to kind of, you know, give you some incidental life gain to offset this. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's a pretty solid pickup.
Cool. Can't be my turn.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is kind of a casual / EDH / sometimes legacy card. Sterling Grove.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there's any, enchantment artifacts you want to go tutor for, I think if there's any gods you want to go tutor for, I think if you want to give all your gods, Shroud and all your enchantments Shroud, Sterling Grove just does everything. This
Shroud,
seems like a good,
what is that?
What? Your enchantments can't be the target of spells or abilities.
I think he meant because Hexproof is all over the place these days.
Yeah, you can't be enchanting your own enchantments with Sterling Grove out. Sorry. That's a real drawback. But Grove is $3 right now. $2-3. That's dumb. That doesn't seem correct. This is an auto-include in green-white EDH now, just because stuff like that Bow of Nylea and maybe the green or white god are just, there's all kind of stuff. And plus, if you're playing more enchantments, this making them harder to deal with is good. So I think there's definite upside. And I've already seen hype online surrounding this card, so even if it never does anything, doesn't matter. There's hype. Whenever there's hype, buy in cheap, because you're going to be able to sell into it. So I'm actually going deep on Sterling Grove right now.
I think that's a good call. Now, what is the, isn't there another similar effect that was just in white and was released maybe around Lorwyn block that gave your other enchantments Shroud?
Greater Oromancy?
Greater Oromancy, yeah. What do you think about that?
Seems fine. It's not it doesn't double as a tutor, so I obviously Grove better. But for mono white, Oromancy could be a thing. It just really depends on how many of these enchantment permanents you're gonna play.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Oromancy.
Well, I might come out with an enchantment land. You don't know. I don't know what wackiness they're going to do in this set and then this block. They could have a lot more crap planned for us. So, yeah, Greater Oromancy seems like a good pick. And I've seen hype surrounding Sterling Grove, and it's only going to go up. So if you can still get these around $3, I would scoop an armload.
I think that's a really good call because, looking at Oromancy, now that I thought about it, it's almost $9 up from $6 a year ago. And Sterling Grove is half the price. Yeah, I think that's a really good call.
So I'm going to make a card call that's actually probably better for paper players than Magic Online.
What?
Yeah, because you guys can get this for basically the same price, which is $1.70 in paper and $1.60 online. This is Ash Zealot, and I wouldn't want to spend $1.50. But the reason for this is, again, devotion. You know, devotion's gonna be a big thing, and you got Boros Reckoner, obviously, that's gonna be fueling a lot of devotion, but this card is powerful, comes down with haste, comes down with first strike, and the good thing about first strike is it pairs well with enchantments. So if you got any kind of cool enchantment auras or anything like this, this card becomes very hard to block, and becomes a very excellent 2-drop, I think, for red. So I think this is gonna become a premier 2-drop for red. If you want to do any devotion deck, and this card has more upside in paper online, I don't think it's going to go more than $3-4 maybe at the most. But paper, I could see this as a $5 card, maybe even $6.
You know what you did there, Marcel? You did something really awesome. You made the case for this card with its relevant abilities. Now, as everybody knows, Ash Zealot has got that last ability. They get shocked when they try to play something out of the graveyard. Like, we're losing all the graveyard stuff. So the fact that you can make a case for Ash Zealot without even referencing that last ability, speaks a lot to the, how good of a spec this is.
Yeah, I just didn't see the last ability. I forgot that's even there, so yeah.
Don't spoil the magic, Marcel. Don't spoil the magic.
No, I mean, because I don't see it as an ability in Theros right now. You know?
I mean, it's really not. Like, it was great when people were playing a bunch of, Lingering Souls, but now it's a beater. Its roles have changed slightly. It's less of a hate bear and more of a beater, but I think red-green needs a beater.
Yeah, and especially post-rotation, like, it's going to be an aggro format, and this card it's been good now. It's still good now, and, you know, and red deck wins, so it's going to be good in post-rotation even a little bit more.
No, like, let's be serious. 2 red, 2-2 first strike haste, obviously a rare.
Yeah, of course. So it's a good card. Hey, so the Fire Main Angels, actually, Fire Main Avengers, they went up to 20 cents on Moto. So they were 5 cents and they jumped up to 20 cents, which is not saying anything really, but it's definitely showing that it's not a bulk rare anymore. And
I don't know. Express that in mathematical terms. Does that mean it quadrupled?
Yeah, but I mean, it could easily deflate right back down to bulk rare. It could
I think you sell things when they quadruple. I don't know about you.
You're not going to sell. You could probably sell it for 10 cents. So you got double, but I mean, if you're going to buy in, because they were 5 cents when you could buy in, if you're going to buy in on them and you could double, I mean, you could do that if you want, but I think you should just hold on for a bigger upside, because I think the card has a bigger upside than just that. I think it's at least a dollar card.
Well, don't you sell half your copies to break even and then keep everything else as profit?
Yeah, Marcel.
I
what we tell people to do.
I'm just not. I mean, cause it takes so fucking long to get copies on Moto, god damn. I mean, I'm at 150 copies, and I'm like, I don't want to do no more, I'm just quit, I'm done, it's over.
Sounds like so much work.
It is, it's miserable. Like, I really realized, like, the only way to do finance on Moto is to finance your collection or finance your drafting habit that you have. You know, support your addiction, that's it. If you try to go out and really try to make money off of this, you're going to drive yourself crazy. Unless you really got a bot service and, you know, you got a solid financial plan. Other than that, you're just really not going to do it right.
All right, well, I suppose I'll do my pick of the week. I think that instead of going crazy with older cards and older formats, we should be looking at ways to deal with these enchantments, artifacts, well, mainly enchantments that are coming in, and I think Wear and Tear is really under the radar right now. I know it's only an uncommon, but I think that this could easily be the next Lingering Souls, assuming they don't reprint it 12 times. But in the format, I mean, it deals with the entire new block coming in. Like, you can't deal with the gods, which is unfortunate, but everything else, all their equipment, that kind of stuff, just there's a lot of creatures that'll be played, I'm sure. It will either be artifacts or enchantments. I think it's a good catch-all, and it's going to see a lot of sideboard play at the very least. It may even sneak into main decks if it becomes a big enough issue. And you can get them on, like, TCG Player and stuff right now for 10 to 15 cents a piece. I think it's fine to buy at that price.
Wear and Tear. It's the Boros one?
Yeah, it sees modern play as well.
Yeah, I like this card a lot.
Eternal play. And I just think, regardless of how good it's, like, you know, it may start out as. I think as this block continues and we start seeing more and more problematic enchantments and potentially artifacts as well, this card's going to see more and more play. So, as, you know, Ravnica isn't the majority of standard, the less and less of that we see, the better that card becomes. So I think this is not necessarily a short-term call. I think it could easily spike up to $2 by the time, you know, that we see this full set or this full spoiler, people really start picking up on hate cards already. But I think that it's so cheap you can get in and sit on them for, I don't know, couple
months. Wasn't Dragon's Maze?
Yeah. It's got so much potential for 2-for-1s.
Yeah, like, Dragon's Maze got drafted for about 35 minutes.
And if for 3 mana, you could get a 2-for-1 for 3 mana. You cannot really beat that. And you got more enchantments. You know,
you remember the equipment or artifacts too. I mean, there's just a lot of inherent little things. Like, there's going to be plenty of decks now that are going to have an artifact and an enchantment play. Before, like, you played it just because you could deal with either. Now, a lot of times, I see you getting a lot more value out of it. Like, being able to pull up 2 targets.
Actually, I think the equipments kind of suck. And I think they're not going to see standard play. Like, maybe the blue one, maybe, but maybe the red one.
You read the bow?
The green one is nuts. It does too many things.
The bow has 5 fucking abilities. How can a card with 5 abilities be bad? How?
Like, again,
it's got 1 more ability than Jace the Mind Sculptor.
My input is the red one's the best. The bow is, like, really cute and all, and the blue one fucking sucks. But yeah,
I'm also a fan of the red one more than anything else.
I think the red one is fine, but I think most of the time the red one is just like a really bad mass hysteria. Which, I mean, sometimes you just need that effect. And like, yeah, if you get it with the god and stuff, it's cute. And like, but Assemble the Legion, the creatures already have haste. Most of the ways you're going to be trying to abuse Port from Rose, there's like, or however you say his name, there's just better ways. Like, if you're going Young Pyromancer, like, you don't need to combo with Hammer too. Like,
well, I think you do. The Hammer is going to be the best.
It's really good in theory, but you're talking about like a 3-card combo that still requires instants and sorceries to do anything with. Like, you dilute your deck with cards like Hammer, the less you're abusing the cards that like work well for.
Well, I mean, you got Boros Reckoner. Say in this deck, you're gonna play Boros Reckoner. You're gonna play Azelet. You're gonna play whatever one drops.
Yeah, but look at this. So like, Azelet already has haste, right? Boros Reckoner doesn't really matter if that guy has haste. Like, he's already good by himself. Like, you're playing a card that makes other cards marginally better, as opposed to like, I think Bow allows you to put it into like these elf style decks and like little, like, you know, swarm decks that green can deal with right now. And it gives all your guys death touch. So suddenly, like, you're not stuck in these board states where you're like, cool, I have 4 1/1s and you have 2 2/2s, so I can't swing into you. Like, no, you're fine trading those off. And the abilities are very relevant. So if you're just sitting there and you do get into like that kind of board state board stall, like, you're continually either gaining life to keep yourself ahead, destroy, killing a flyer if they have one, or, you know, at least being able to like make math awkward for them.
Oh.
You can go a guy. I think that card is very good.
I think it's cute. Yeah, I think that's the right conclusion there. I don't agree.
I think the red one is cute. I think the green one is very real.
It does make fucking blocking miserable though. Just a death touch. You can just make a lot of little guys and just like really.
I wish we'd been on this cast in 2005 so we could hear like Marcel and Corbin shitting on Umezawa's Jite.
Yeah, I mean, that was the comparison. Like,
gain 2 life.
This is not Jite, obviously. Like, by no means. This is not Jite, but you can't ignore things that have that many abilities.
Yeah, flying is going to be less relevant most of the time. 3 life is what you'll do on the default when you got the extra mana. The 4 target cards from the graveyard to the bottom of your library is just never really going to be used unless you got a good combo deck or something.
They have Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah.
That's such a corner case.
Yeah,
this card will no way be a counter to Deathrite Shaman.
What you're gonna get from this is all your creatures are gonna have death touch is the biggest thing, and then you potentially put a +1/+1 counter at instant speed on one of your creatures and disrupt. I mean, then you set up, you're making basically your opponent's removal better with this card.
Well, and you also have to remember, any of your creatures that you can give trample to or that have trample, suddenly, like, are only having to deal 1 damage to a creature to get through.
I do like that. I do like that idea. Trample like, death touch is really good. Good.
I think, like, as cute as the hammer is with the red god, like, these two together are extremely ridiculously good. Like,
does anyone think that the hammer's good because it lets you turn excess lands into creatures to give your red deck reach? Anybody?
I think the moment, like, you're trying to put this, you're trying to play, like, this really fast aggro deck with, like, 3 and 4 drops that are kind of clunky and don't do anything on their own. I mean, that does not spell like fast red aggro to me. Like, that doesn't sound like the deck I want Ash Cell in.
I'm playing a red deck and I'm putting 2 hammers in it so that when I draw, when they're at 5-6 life on turns 6 and 7 and I draw a land, I have something to do.
Yeah, and then also make sure your 1 drops and your 2 drops that you draw later in the game actually a lot less sucky.
I disagree. Your 1 and 2 drops are still going to be sucky because you were sitting there playing hammer rather than killing them with things like Boros Reckoner. Like,
yeah, but if you got haste, if you're 1 or 2 drive, if you got haste on them and all of a sudden, you know, you're able to calculate different math and sacrifice the land's gonna have haste And then you got, you know, you can save a one drop and all of a sudden there's five damage that they're not really calculating and really throw off their combat math and really like, you know, jam stuff down their throats. If you use this with Chandra, you know, who knows, you know, all of a sudden you can make it so they can't block and you can create some pretty havocy stuff.
I can see how this card can be relevant. All I'm saying is you're talking about this fast aggro red deck that you're now not playing a three drop creature in because you're playing a hammer that by itself does nothing and the turn after it probably does nothing if you want to play anything else. So I want a creature in that spot. If I'm playing a deck that's trying to kill my opponent quickly, I do not want a three cost artifact that only gives half of my creatures haste because the other half of them already have it.
That's just that's a good argument.
I could give two shits about the haste part. Like, it's just right,
so you're paying six mana to get your first 3/3 after you sacrifice a land? That's what you want to do in your mono red, aggro red, or suicide deck?
Yes, instead of on turn six doing nothing, that is, I would like to turn my lands into
turn swords. Six, my opponent better be dead if I'm running a deck with Ash
that Corbin, way. No.
Corbin, you're talking like magical Christmas land where your opponent somehow hasn't taken complete control of the game killed by this point?
Yeah, somehow we go into the late game and now you have an option out, but you're basically
struggling anyway. I'm sorry, if we're turn six and this 3/3 makes that big of a difference, your opponent was already on the ropes. It didn't matter what spell you
had. Well, that's the point. You're playing a red deck. Of course they're on the ropes. Like, that's the whole point of what...
This card is a dead card before turn six is what you're telling me. In a red deck.
I play like one or two of them. You maybe put one in your main deck or zero. You put them.
Literally rather run a Lava Swipe than this card, or a Lava Axe, excuse me.
No. I think I think the jury is out. We're gonna have to figure.
I like how both of your arguments are getting more fucking hyperbolic the longer this goes on.
I can't see his argument at all. Like, I wouldn't like if Mass Hysteria was a thing. I might play that. This card is not Mass Hysteria.
I'm sorry, listeners. This is what happens when you mix beer and Darrow spoilers. You
get this. I just true. Think putting Reach into your red deck is
yeah. But you said that already, so you probably don't need to say it a second time.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, I'm glad we're arguing about the set. Frankly, I personally already put my money where my mouth is, and I bought $300 worth of bows. Pre-order because they were $3 and or less a piece, and I think that's absurd. So, I mean, buy in. How much are the hammers?
Dude, you're dead.
Why? You don't think this card will pass bulk rare price? Or bulk mythic, excuse me?
I don't think it rare. Will.
Why not?
Well, oh no.
It's rare in the first place, so.
Sure, yeah.
Alright.
Hold on, let me see how much I spent.
This card is... This card is the Druidic Satchel of the set. The Into the Wild of this set.
I agree.
I can't agree. Those do random things. You don't get to choose what those do. Like, this card you have complete control over. I think that any kind of mid-range deck where you're just trying to gain small incremental advantages, like this card is perfect for that.
Or I could just play it like a better card if I wanted to get an advantage.
I mean, I suppose. I like versatility personally. Either way.
Like, I agree with your argument, like, that the hammer is not, like, going to be played in the red deck. Like, I think the hammer is the best of these weapons, is what I was saying. But, I don't think any of them will see play. If the hammer sees play, it's gonna be a one or two of in a red deck. And if it is in that red deck, it's because it's two red symbols for devotion.
Yeah, the bow seems like a casual / EDH card, but it seems like the one that will appeal the most to that group.
I mean, I think the bow actually has potential standard play. Like, I like the idea of going turn one, Llanowar, turn two, that, turn three, the god. Like, it may be bad, who knows, but I feel like...
Anytime we do these set wrap-ups, we talk about 35 fucking cards that we think we'll see play, and 5 cards from every set see play. Or sure. 10. Like, if you just sit here and say, man, everything in this set sucks, that won't see play, you'll be right 95% of the time, and you'll look like a genius. So, you know what? Everything in Theros sucks.
You have articulated my view personally.
Like, standard, if you're just mostly looking at standard, they're going to pick 5 cards from the set, and that's all they're going to play.
Sylvan Caryatid, because we don't have a Farseek.
So it's Thoughtseize and 4 other cards.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Whether Thoughtseize is actually good or not, people are going to play it just because they already know that Thoughtseize is good.
Thoughtseize is good, and yes, I love Duress, and I will be playing a lot of Thoughtseize in this season.
How do you guys feel about that Sylvan Caryatid? With it being promoed, like, does it have any potential to grow?
Let's read the card. shall
okay.
we?
It costs 1 and a green. It is a creature plant, 0/3, defender with hexproof. Add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool by tapping it.
So what I'm doing is I'm taking the Utopia Tree out of my EDH deck.
Well, I mean, I see that, but I think, like, you have to remember, in Standard, if there's going to be any kind of mid-range deck, you're devoid of a Farseek effect now.
So, I think this card is fine. Yeah. I'm not with it, but the 3 toughness is not irrelevant. It probably blocks quite a few things.
Yeah.
Like, the red plays 2/2s for 1 mana. Like, it blocks them all day long. That seems, if this was an 0/2, I would like it way less, but in an 0/3, I actually think it's pretty solid.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the fact, again, if Farseek was in Standard, I wouldn't be hyped about this card at all, and I think if we get another 2 mana ramp spell, like, I'm less excited about this card, but for now, I like this card a lot.
So, we're talking Farseek, or Thoughtseize Carry added in 3 other cards?
I mean, yeah, I think Nighthawler potentially has, I don't know.
Change of the Mountain, Change of the Rocks.
Yeah, Chain of the Rocks. I think Nighthawler has potential. I don't, like, the shell isn't there yet, but I don't know. It could be there.
It's weird that Chain of the Rocks forces you into 2 colors, but this block is also trying to reward devotion. So it seemed like Chain of the Rocks is going to be in, like, just sort of a more 2 or 3 color kind of versatile deck. I like it for clearing blockers. I like it for killing their utility guys. And I don't think, I'm not sold on the whole Night Vale Spectre, Boros Reckoner crap, because I haven't seen anything that makes me even give a shit about turning on devotion. I haven't seen a single card that's like, I gotta go real deep into this color for devotion. Screw it. We're getting a dual land. We don't know what it's going to be or if it's going to be good at all. The rumor we're hearing now is they're going to be like dual lands that come into play tapped and you scry 1 when you play them.
That's not going to be the rare cycle. That's not
playable. That sounds uncommon. You're
that's
right.
Uncommon.
See one that's like just a dual land that comes on play tap that gives you devotion to each color. Like devotion 1.
Okay. Yeah. So we've got decent mana. It's not retarded mana, but it's decent. So I don't think we care about devotion. There's nothing I've seen so far that makes me go, you know what? I'm just going to run a 3-color deck or a 2-color deck. So Chain of the Rocks actually just seems really good, and it doesn't have much of a drawback, especially in the context of us having Sacred Foundry for a while.
I like the Planeswalker. I know you guys are not a big fan of that, but I think that Planeswalker is solid, and it'll be seen play. It's not obscene. Yeah. I don't think it's a $40 card, but it's a solid card.
So, Jason, how do you feel about Reckoner, not in the context of devotion?
In the context of being a Reckoner?
Yeah.
Wreck on people's faces.
Well, right. It's at the lowest price it is since the week it released. Right under $12. Do we think that there's upside to it at that price or no?
Like, they got Reckoners on Moto right now. They're going by like $6.50, and I just don't see it being a $10. I mean, it may hit $10, but I don't think it's better than Snapcaster.
I'm not super bullish on this dude.
You're not gonna see much profit. You'll see some profit, but it's gonna be very minor. You can put in other cards and get more cards and that'll double, I think.
Right, that's kind of how I feel too. Like, I think it's probably not a bad trade pickup at $12. But I don't think, like, it goes higher than, like, you know, 15 or 16. So, like, there's not a ton of profit there. I think it's safe to trade for, but I don't think it's gonna go Thrag Tusk levels and hit 25 or anything again.
It's a good bear stock. You know, it's gonna be a solid gainer. You know, a couple months from now, it's gonna be more expensive than where it's at now. Regardless, I don't think it's gonna be cheaper.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep, so I think what people want to be doing as we get closer to Theros is look a little bit at the block decks and what perform well in block, and I think see what cards from Theros you can incorporate into those strategies. I actually saw something I was really excited about at the SCG Open. I think her name was Heather Perdue. She got like second or third with a green-white aggro deck that ran – it was running like a bunch of life gain stuff like Trostani and Scavenging Ooze, and it was running the Archangel. So I think that is something that's not going to lose a ton of cards, and we could definitely see something like that going forward. And a lot of the stuff she had was pretty similar to Craig Wesco's deck that crushed worlds. So I think you really want to look at what did well in block and what cards from Theros make that a little bit better.
Legion Loyalist, while we're on the subject, has played quite a bit in block in the red deck, and that's a pretty cheap rare right now.
We were not on the subject of Legion Loyalist.
Yeah, you were talking about block decks, and I thought it would be one to mention that we haven't talked about yet.
Corbin always got to slip another one in.
Hey, just trying to give people all the information.
That was kind of dirty, Marcel. I like it.
There you go, Jason. That's more what I was looking for. So it's Slick and
Motika.
Motika.
I knew it, Marcel. I knew you'd fuck it up.
Oh man. Well,
let's just say this, Marcel. It is 1:12 right now where me and Slick are. So continue.
Oh well, please tell people where they can reach you at, and where they can find you, so they could find out all the coolness and become a beer snob, or actually appreciate beer beyond a Bud Light with Lime.
Well, let's start with Slick then.
All right. Well, I got you can find me at roughdraft88.wordpress.com. I'm in the process of getting a domain, but you know that's where you're gonna find me. It's R. Well, I can't really spell.
I got it in the show notes. It's fine.
R O.
No, don't worry about the sobriety test right now.
Yeah,
R O G. Wait, R O U G A.
R U G
7 Q.
The important part is that it's not draft like magic draft. It's draught 88.wordpress.com. That is my beer blog where I rant about beer. That's where you can find me. You can also find me at Slick Jagger on Twitter. And, I got a couple shout outs if you guys don't mind. I got a shout out my boy Danny, who is a huge Brainstorm Brewery fan, who I hung out with this past weekend, who was thrilled that I would be on the show. And I was like, yeah, I'll give you a shout out, you know, when I get on there. I'll steal Motika's thunder and give a shout out to our LGS in West Philly, Red Caps Corner. I got to give a shout out to our draft partner in crime, Chase. No Twitter, Chase. And that's it. I hope you guys look me up. If you find the blog, you know, I hope I can impart some beer wisdom on you. That's my goal. And, that's it for me. Mike, Motika. You got anything here?
It's Motika. Get it right.
Motika. I can't spell it right, but I can say it right.
Jesus, even fucking Marcel can say it.
Yeah. I'm a quiet person, so I don't like shouting, so there's no outs for me. I am pretty excited to try to brew a beer for a Brainstorm Brewery. Like, that would just be the best thing ever. Blah, 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 what he said, Red Caps. Blah, 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 I had a great time tonight. And, let's just, let me stop talking. How about that?
And what about our co-host? Shout out who you are. For all the people that don't know the voice of the name.
I am Ryan Bouchard. You can find me on Twitter, at Cripple Command, CRYPPLE, in command. You can also find me weekly. I write the financial article, which goes live on Fridays for Gathering Magic.
Next.
Hi, I'm Corbin Hostler. I write for some bullshit newspaper in Oklahoma. I like Bud Light.
With Lime.
And League of Legends. You can find me on Twitter at CHostler88. I really like the Red Hammer. It's going to be pretty good in standard.
And Jason? Corbin, that's when you're supposed to chime in.
Yeah, Corbin, you're supposed to do Jason. He's like eating ice cream or sleeping or something.
I just my ice cream. I was thinking about the thing to say.
Go ahead. Spotlight's on you.
Well, if I was to be Jason, I'm not going to try to do a voice impersonation. I'm just not good at it. I don't want to embarrass myself. I am probably the most bitter, angry person you will ever meet. If you want to try to compliment me, just don't. Just save yourself the trouble. Save yourself some time. Don't ever fucking compliment me, you asshole.
He's not even wrong.
Keep going.
I'm friends with Jason. I'll say he's not wrong.
That's all I got.
Come on. That's all you got, that I don't like compliments?
I am stunned. He actually hit that on the nose. Like, oh man. You do have like a complex of some type. Like, were you loved as a child?
I was. My parents told me I was special, and then I grew up and got into the real world and realized that I was not. So whenever anybody says, "Hey man, I'm a big fan of the podcast," I don't react well to it. I'm sorry. So if any of our fans happen to meet me in public and I'm not nice to you, that's actually the highest compliment that I could pay you, because I am treating you like a true fan of Brainstorm Brewery. Nice to you, it means I don't respect you.
No, you were an asshole when I met you, so I feel really honored right now.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep. And you can find me, MarcelMTG, on Twitter, and that's about it. I'm on Brainstorm Brewery, and that's my only cast. Oh, you'll find us on Mono Echoes. Mana Echoes. ManaEchoes.org. And that's where you'll find a lot of podcasts there, and we're going to have a couple new ones. There's going to be probably a new one called Spike Tea that's going to be on there. So check it out. Brainstorm Brewery, thank you for listening.
Well, that went well.
Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.